Nowadays, in our newspapers, they give us statistics concerning COVID-19. And they give us these statistics every day. If you look into your newspaper, you will find the number of new cases that were registered in the previous day. You will also find the statistic reporting the number of deaths the previous day. You know, one of the reasons why our newspapers give us these statistics is to help us track the pandemic curve, whether the pandemic curve is going up or whether it is coming down. But these numbers also create in us another effect. They create in us an eager anticipation for the time when this pandemic will be over. We are all tracking these numbers and we want these numbers to come down to zero. We do not want any new case to be registered. We do not want any deaths to be happening because of COVID-19. We want both these numbers to come down to zero. And there is a groaning within us. There is an eager anticipation within us. We want to go back to those old days when we did not have this pandemic. You know, that's what these numbers create in us. A longing, a groaning for those good old days before we had this pandemic. Now, brothers and sisters, as we come to this portion of scriptures, the Apostle Paul is groaning for something. He's longing for something. He's eagerly anticipating something. But that is not for the good old days in the past. But rather, the Apostle Paul is groaning for good days which are going to come in the life of every Christian. See, our good days are not behind us. Our good days are ahead of us. And it is to those good days that the Apostle Paul is groaning after. The Apostle Paul is groaning to be with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is groaning to be in his resurrected body. The Apostle Paul is groaning to be in his eternal home, which is heaven. And beloved brothers and sisters, this is a groaning which must be found not only in the Apostle Paul, it must be a groaning which must be found in all of us. We all must groan. We must groan for our resurrected bodies. We must groan to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must groan to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We should not be enamored by this world, but rather we must groan for our eternal home. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, the message which comes to us from this portion of scriptures is this: groan for your eternal home. Groan for your eternal home. That's the message. Now, why should you groan for your eternal home? I've kind of teased out the answer already in my introduction. But let me make it more explicit. You must groan for your eternal home, which is heaven, because in this world you will suffer. You must groan for your eternal home because in this world you will suffer. Let us look at the first four verses from which I derive this truth. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this: "For we know that if our earthly house, that is, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, as we've been seeing in this letter, the Apostle Paul has been talking a lot about his sufferings, hasn't he? The main theme of many of our sermons in the last few months as we have considered this book has been suffering. The Apostle Paul is constantly talking to us about his suffering, and one of the reasons why he does that is to help people understand that if you suffer as a Christian, you are really approved by God. Suffering is not something which is strange, which happens to a Christian, but it is to be expected because the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. And the Apostle Paul defends his suffering because he was criticized for his sufferings by many of these false teachers. They were saying that your suffering makes you disqualified from apostolic ministry. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is, my suffering actually proves that I'm an apostle, that I am following the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm not someone who is a counterfeit. Now, the Apostle Paul has been talking about his sufferings in the last four chapters. But in this chapter, especially in verses 1 to 8, he is talking about the hope that he has in the midst of that suffering. He's talking about the hope, the great hope that he has in the midst of this great suffering that he's enduring. So the apostle here in verse 1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house made without hands, eternal in the heavens." So the apostle here is talking about his earthly tent being destroyed. Now that earthly tent to which he refers is nothing but his earthly body. It is his earthly body that he is calling as the earthly tent, this house, he says. Now the apostle was a middle-aged man. The apostle was a middle-aged man. He was not a very old man when he wrote this. He was a middle-aged man. And yet he is talking about his earthly body being destroyed. Why is he talking about his earthly body being destroyed? Why is he talking about death? Well, as I've just told you, he's talking about death because he comes very near to death on a daily basis. He has a close brush with death almost daily. You know, in chapter 1 of this letter, 2 Corinthians, we saw how the Apostle Paul endured so many great persecutions in Asia Minor. He says, you know, when I was in Asia Minor, I was burdened beyond measure and I despaired even of life. I thought I had received a sentence of death from God. I thought I'm never going to survive. So the Apostle Paul is having a brush with death almost on a daily basis. He is enduring a great persecution every day. And it is because of that he here talks about his earthly body being destroyed. Someone can take away his life without any notice. And so the Apostle Paul here talks about his death. The Apostle says, even though I may die, even though my earthly tent may be destroyed, he talks about his hope. What is the hope that he has? He says, even though this earthly tent may be destroyed, I have a building from God, a house made without hands, eternal in the heavens. Now that is referring to his resurrected body. The Apostle Paul is talking about his resurrected body. He says, this earthly tent, by that he means his earthly body. And when he says a building from God, a house made without hands, that is talking about his resurrected body. So the Apostle Paul is saying, even though I may die very soon, even though this persecution that is happening to me may claim my life, nevertheless, I have this great hope that one day I will rise and that one day I will have this resurrected body which the Lord Jesus Christ will give me. I don't endure persecution without hope. I endure persecution with great hope. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's eagerly looking forward to rising from the dead and having his resurrected body. And it is not just the resurrected body that he is looking for. The resurrected body means that you are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and that you are going to enjoy fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we read the resurrected body, it's not that the Apostle Paul just wants to get rid of his earthly body and wants to have a nice resurrected body so that he can move around. That's not what he's saying. He's saying with the resurrected body, I will see my resurrected Lord. And I will have fellowship with him. And I will be in his immediate presence. And I will see him face to face. That's what he's talking about. Look at verse 2. In verse 2 he says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven." Again, the phrase "habitation which is from heaven" refers to his resurrected body. And he says, "For in this we groan." We groan for this resurrected body to be clothed with this habitation from heaven. The Apostle Paul is groaning. You know, if you fast for 2 days, you will start groaning. On the third day, you will start groaning for food. The thing which will be on the top of your mind on the third day, after you have fasted for 2 days, 2 full days, the third day, the thing which will be on the top of your mind will be food. Oh, today is the day I can break my fast and I can start eating something. That is the kind of groaning which the Apostle Paul is talking about here. The thing which is on the top of his mind is the resurrection. He wants to be raised from the dead. He wants to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this he groans. Look at verse 3. In verse 3 he says, "If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, to be found naked means to be found out for your sin. To be found naked means to be exposed. You are exposed as a sinner. You are exposed as someone who does not have the righteousness which God demands of you. So to be found naked means to be exposed to God's judgment. That's what it means to be found naked. This is the constant way in which the word nakedness is used in the Old Testament. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 47 verse 3, this is what God says to his people Israel. He says, "Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not arbitrate with man." You know, God here is speaking to his people and he's saying, "Your nakedness shall be uncovered." What does he mean by that? What he means by that is not physical nakedness, but it means spiritual nakedness. That means your sins will be found out. I will indeed deal with your sins. I will reckon with your sins. Your sins are going to be exposed to me and that will cause you shame. And I will take vengeance. So whenever a person is found naked before God, that means he is exposed to God's judgment. Okay, with this understanding, we have to come back to this verse. The Apostle Paul says, "If having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." Now, what does he mean by that? Can Christians rise from the dead and then find out that they are naked? Is it possible? Can we be with our resurrected bodies and then find out that we are going to be sent to hell? Is this what the Apostle Paul is teaching? Not at all, brothers and sisters. See, once you rise from the dead, there is no judgment for you. We rise from the dead and we have resurrected bodies because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God raises you up from the dead and God gives you a resurrected body, and that resurrected body is fitted for heaven. The very fact that you rise from the dead is a sign of blessing. All of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us is going to rise from the dead, and that body is fitted for heaven, and you will be with God forever and forever. You will never be found naked. That is because Jesus Christ has clothed you with his robe of righteousness. It is because Jesus Christ has clothed you with his robe of righteousness that you are even able to rise from the dead bodily and you have a resurrected body. In fact, Jesus himself said in John chapter 6 verse 40, "Everyone, this is the will of him who sent me," this is what Jesus says, "this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him from the dead on the last day. So Jesus promises here that once we believe on Him, we have eternal life and we will indeed rise from the dead. So there is no second judgment for Christians, brothers and sisters. You know, we are not talking about first judgment when you believe, second judgment when you go to heaven. It's not that way at all. There is only one judgment. And that judgment went on the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead of us being judged, the Lord Jesus Christ was judged. And you have been justified. That means you have been declared righteous. The moment you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been justified. There is no more judgment. Jesus says that very clearly in John chapter 5. Anyone who believes in me shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So here the Apostle Paul is not talking about believers. The Apostle Paul here is not talking about believers in verse 3. But rather he is giving a subtle warning to non-Christians who had come into the Christian church. He is giving a subtle warning to all of these false teachers who are opposing his ministry. He is saying, you all also will rise from the dead. You also will have a resurrected body, but that resurrected body is not going to be fit for heaven. It is going to be fit for hell. See, everybody is going to rise from the dead. Everybody is going to be given a body. The difference is, we believers will be given a body which is fit for heaven, and non-Christians, non-believers who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be given a body which is fit for hell. So the Apostle Paul here says, watch out. Watch out. Lest you find at the resurrection, you guys who are so confident, you guys who are opposing my ministry, you who think that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, watch out, lest you rise from the dead and you find out that you have a body which is fit for hell. And you are finding out that you have a body which is fit for hell and you are going to be judged by God. So, beloved brothers and sisters, do you all have this hope that you are going to rise with bodies which are fit for heaven? So you all must have that hope. This verse should not be something which disturbs you in your conscience. Judgment is actually good news for Christians. Judgment is not bad news. Judgment is good news because on that day, we are going to receive our rewards. On that day, we are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and forever. That is a day of our homecoming. That is a day on which our groanings will be satisfied and we will be with Christ forever and ever. Judgment is good news for Christians, but judgment is bad news for non-Christians. Judgment is bad news for non-Christians. So if there is anyone here who is watching and you are not a Christian, let me tell you very clearly, you too will rise from the dead. But you will rise from the dead not to go to heaven, but you will rise from the dead to go to hell. God will give you a body which is fit for destruction in heaven. And you will be facing God's judgment in hell forever and ever. But there is good news for you. You can repent of your sins. You can turn away from your sins and you can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus has said in John chapter 6 verse 40, this is the will of Him who sent me. That if anyone sees the Son and believes in Him, he shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, and you will be raised up with glorious resurrected bodies, and you will be with Christ, you will be with God forever and ever. There is only one way by which you can escape judgment. It is not by doing good works, but it is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done good works on the behalf of His people. So I pray that nobody will be found naked. Nobody will be found naked in this room, and nobody will be found naked who is watching this webcast, but that all of us will be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Then the Apostle Paul, in verse 4, goes on to address believers. He says, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but we want to be further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. You know, this is really, again, a repetition of what he has said in verses 1 and 2. We find the intense groaning which the Apostle Paul has. He has this intense groaning so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He is wanting his resurrected body. He wants to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's burdened. That's the word he uses here. He is burdened. He's burdened here on earth. What is he burdened by? He's burdened by all his suffering and all his persecution. He is burdened by so many things which keeps him away from the Lord Jesus Christ, from fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to say that it is not as if that the Apostle Paul was resenting his sufferings. He was resenting the persecutions that were coming his way in his life. Not at all. The Apostle Paul, and in fact you read in the book of Acts, when the apostles actually suffered, they found it to be a great honor that they were suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is not as if that the Apostle Paul here is resenting his suffering, but what he is saying is, my joy is always mingled with sorrows. That my fellowship with Christ is not like the fellowship that I will have once I'm in heaven. In this world, I have to go through many trials and tribulations. And my fellowship with Christ is not how I would experience it when I'm in heaven, an unadulterated fellowship. That's what he's saying. He's not resenting his sufferings, but he's saying that I'm burdened by all of these things and I'm unable to fellowship with Christ to the fullest. That's what he's saying. He wants to have uninterrupted peace and joy with God, and this world is not going to afford him that. Beloved brothers and sisters, here we see the Apostle Paul groaning for his resurrected body. We find him groaning to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We find him groaning for his eternal home. The question that I have for all of you is this: do you groan? Do you groan for your eternal home? Do you groan to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you groan to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you groan to see him face to face? Or are you too comfortable being here on earth? Are you too comfortable being here in Bangalore and enjoying the comforts of life in Bangalore? You know, if we never groan for our resurrected bodies, if we never groan to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is some problem. We do have a problem. You are very much in love with the world. And you can't be in love with the world. You have to be in love with God. And you want to be closer to God. You want to see Jesus Christ face to face. Do you groan? You know, this truth that we will be in our resurrected bodies and that we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever, that we will have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in an unadulterated way, this truth will become especially precious for you when you are in your old age. When you are in your old age, when your body starts decaying, when you are unable to do many things with your body which you used to do, when you are not able to move around like the way you were able to move around when you were young, when you have pains and aches in your body, when you have to take a dozen tablets and put it inside your mouth in order to keep all of these diseases at bay. You know, that is when you will groan for your resurrected bodies. You know, this truth is also very, very precious for our disabled friends. They can never function in this world like the way you and I do. They don't have certain privileges, and many of them don't have these privileges for the rest of their lives. They will find their freedom, their limitation of being confined to this broken body, they will find their freedom from that only in heaven. And so they groan for the resurrected bodies. And that is how I comfort my own son. I keep telling him, you will be able to run in heaven. You will be able to jump in heaven. You will have a resurrected body in heaven. So when we are old and when our bodies are taking a beating and we are not able to do many things with this body, that is when we will start groaning for our resurrected bodies. But it is not as if I want you to wait till your old age. Pastor, I will just wait till my old age, so this sermon is not applicable to me. I will groan for the resurrection when I'm old. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying that you will groan, but you better learn to start groaning even now. Those of us who are not disabled and those of us who are neither old, we need to learn to start groaning even now. And you know when you will groan? You will groan when you fight against sin. You will groan when you fight against sin. Temptations will strike a Christian. You will have temptations. You will have troubles in this world. Your sin nature will act up. It will raise its ugly head. The spirit will lust against the flesh, and the flesh will lust against the spirit. You will have an intense battle in your soul. And sometimes this intensity will be so high, this battle will be so intense, that you will cry out with the Apostle Paul, as he cried out in Romans chapter 7 verse 24, "Oh, what a wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Beloved brothers and sisters, when you are fighting sin in your life, and when the battle becomes intense, cry out with the Apostle Paul, "Oh, what a wretched, what a miserable man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And what did the Apostle Paul say in Romans chapter 7? He said, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord." And when you are having those seasons of intense battle against sin, when you are fighting sin in your life, when you are fighting off temptations in your life, and when you groan, remember something, that Jesus Christ listens to your groaning. Jesus Christ listens to your groaning. Jesus is very merciful. In Psalm 34 verse 18 we read that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and to those who are crushed in their spirit. Can you imagine that? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and those who are crushed in the spirit. When you are fighting against sin and when the fight becomes very, very tough, God is near you. Learn to groan to God. Because, brothers and sisters, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. But we have a high priest who can sympathize with us in all of our weakness, because he was tempted like the way we are tempted, but yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13. Jesus Christ listens to your groanings. So start learning to groan. Start learning to groan for your resurrected bodies, because it is only with your resurrected bodies and in that eternal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that you will be completely set free from your sins. That is when you will be completely set free from all the limitations of your broken body. That is when you will be completely set free from all the troubles and the persecutions and all the disappointments of this world. Don't get enamored by this world. Don't fall in love with this world. To be in love with this world is enmity against God. Always understand that this world is not your home. Groan for the Lord Jesus Christ. Groan for your eternal home. And Jesus Christ listens to your groanings, because he is a merciful and faithful high priest who has been tempted as the way we have been tempted, and yet without sin. So the first way, or the first reason why you must groan, is because in this world you will suffer. In this world you will suffer. So groan for your eternal home, because in this world you will suffer. Not only should you groan because in this world you will suffer, but you must also groan because in this world you will not have uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In this world, you will not have uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That means your fellowship with Christ will constantly be interrupted because of the many troubles that you face. I've already touched upon this point, but let me elaborate it, because the Apostle Paul does that from verses 5 to 8. Look at what he says in verse 5. In verse 5 he says, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." He says, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Now, what is this thing for which God has prepared us? Well, he just says he has prepared us for this very thing. That means the thing which he has described in the first four verses. And the things that he has described in the first four verses is the groaning and a longing to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So what the Apostle Paul is saying is, it is God himself who has given us this groaning to be with him in heaven. He wants us to groan. God wants us to groan to be with him in heaven, to be in our resurrected bodies, and to be having our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be in our eternal home. God is the one who wants us, who prepares us to groan. And then the Apostle Paul says that he gives us the Spirit as a guarantee. See, when we groan, God wants us to be assured that all the things for which we groan are going to be given to us. God wants us to be sure about that. God wants us to be firm about that. He does not want you to groan aimlessly. He wants you to groan with confidence. You need to be absolutely sure the things for which you are groaning will be given to you, that you will one day have a resurrected body, that you will one day see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and that one day you will be with God in your eternal home. God wants you to groan with confidence. And in order to assure you, in order to assure you of all of these future realities, God has given to you whom? The Holy Spirit. And he says, the Holy Spirit has been given as a guarantee. Or in some other translations it says, the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a deposit. Or we can say, in our parlance, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a down payment. You know, if you are going to buy a house, you need to give to the builder something called as what? Down payment. When you give to the builder a down payment, a sum of money, you are telling the builder, you are assuring the builder, look, this down payment is given to you so that you may trust me and that you may know that I will pay the rest of the money. So when you are giving a down payment, you are assuring the builder that you will pay the rest of the money. Well, God has given us the down payment of the Holy Spirit. And God is assuring you that all that he has promised for you in the Lord Jesus Christ will be given to you, that you will be raised from the dead, and that you will be brought into your eternal home. Now, there is something which the Apostle Paul does not directly mention here, but which is mentioned in other portions of the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a deposit, as a guarantee, so that we may groan with confidence, right? That's what I've said till now. But do you know something? That the Holy Spirit is the one who himself enables us to groan. So the Holy Spirit is not just the assurance, not just the confidence that we have, that we will receive everything for which we groan, but the Holy Spirit is the agent. He is the person who enables us to groan faithfully, and he is the one who enables us to groan in the way that God wants us to groan. And we find this truth in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Apostle Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray, but he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You notice that? Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Apostle Paul says, the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to groan. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to groan. Now, when I say that the Holy Spirit enables you to groan, what do I mean by that? Is this something mystical? Is this something abstract? Is this something when I just keep silent and, you know, I can hear the Holy Spirit groaning within me and I can hear the sound of his groanings? No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not something abstract. It is not something mystical. But you groan in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables you to groan when you do it through the Word of God. God has given you a book by which you can groan to God. The Holy Spirit has inspired a book by which you can groan, express your groanings to God. What is that book? The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, how many groanings do we find in the book of Psalms? You know, every psalm has some kind of a groaning, and Holy Spirit has given you this book so that you may utter your groaning respectfully to God. Psalm 130 says, From the depths to you I cried, Lord, give ear to me. Oh, hear my voice and listen to my supplicating plea, to my supplicating plea. What is the psalmist doing here? He's groaning. From the depths to you I cried. From the depths to you I cried, Oh Lord, give ear to me. Oh, hear my voice and listen to my supplicating plea, my supplicating plea. Can you express your groanings to God in a better way than this? Again, Jesus groaned, right? Jesus groaned on the cross. And what was the word that he used? Jesus used the words of Psalm 22. Jesus said, my God, to you I cry. Why have you forsaken me? Why are you far from helping me and from my agonizing plea? Jesus used the words of Psalm 22. The Holy Spirit gives you a book by which you can utter your groanings to God. Now I must say this, I know that many of you here are singing psalms only when you are in the worship service. You are singing psalms only when you are in the worship service. Now that is okay, that is good. I'm very happy that you're coming to a psalm singing church and you're singing the psalms. But that's it. You don't go home and you sing psalms. And that is not good, brothers and sisters. Let me say that very, very clearly. God has given you a book by which you can utter your groans to God. God has given it. And why are you not making use of this book to utter your groans to God? You know, someone who has the book of Psalms and someone who knows that the Psalms ought to be sung and he does not sing it is like a man who has a very precious gift and he never unwraps that gift. You know, what would you think of a man who knows that there is a very precious gift, it has been, you know, nicely wrapped, and he never unwraps that gift? What would you think of that man? Well, you would think of that man as somewhat foolish, right? Well, that's what we are if we fail to sing the Psalms in our personal prayer times. God has given you a precious gift to utter your groans to God. Make use of it. See, I'm saying this because all of you are going to go through very difficult times in your lives. I can guarantee you that. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. So in your good times, learn to sing the Psalms, so that when bad times do come in your life, you will be well prepared to know which psalm to turn to. That you will not be psalm illiterate, but you would be psalm literate, and you will know exactly where to turn to in God's word for help. There is a different effect which the book of Psalms has in you as you sing it. So God has given us the book of Psalms, which has been Spirit-inspired, to utter our groans to God. And God has given us the Spirit to also assure us that all that we groan for is going to be given to us, because the Spirit has been given to us as a guarantee, as a down payment, as a deposit. And because the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guarantee, as a deposit, the Apostle Paul is confident. He is very confident of certain things. Look at what he says in verse 6 and verse 7. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The Apostle Paul is saying, because I have been given the Holy Spirit of God, I'm confident. I'm confident that even though I am present in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. For I walk by faith and not by sight. What the Apostle Paul here is saying is that even though I'm present in the body, which means I'm absent from the Lord, I don't see God, that is Jesus Christ, face to face. That's how we must understand that phrase, absent from the Lord. That doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is not with us. It simply means that we don't see Jesus Christ face to face. So what the Apostle Paul is saying, I know that as long as I am in my earthly body, I cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. But that does not make me lose heart. That does not make me lose heart. Because God has given me His Spirit, and the Spirit enables me to see the Lord Jesus Christ with the eyes of faith. I am fully persuaded of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Beloved brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit gives you faith, and it is through the eyes of faith you are able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. It is with the eyes of faith that you are able to believe that Jesus Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago, that he died and that he was buried and that he rose from the dead on the third day. How do you know that? It is because of the eyes of faith which the Holy Spirit has given you. You are able to understand that the moment you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have been justified. How do you know that? It is because of the eyes of faith. You know that the Spirit of God, whom you don't see, he is working in you, and he is slowly changing you, and he is making you like the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that? You know that because of the eyes of faith. And you also know that one day that the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to give you everything that he has promised. God the Father is going to give you everything that he has promised. He is going to give you a resurrected body. He is going to make you come into your eternal home. How do you know that? You know that through the eyes of faith. So, beloved brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul is saying that despite all the troubles I face in this life, I have eyes of faith, and because of that, I am productive in this life. I am able to do many great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ even here on earth. Even though I'm away from the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not able to see him face to face. So, beloved brothers, you know, when I tell you to groan for the Lord Jesus Christ, when I tell you to groan for your resurrected bodies, I'm not telling you to think of this life as something like a drudgery. This life is not a drudgery. This life is not something which is depressing, not at all. That's not what I'm wanting you to understand from this explanation. No, the Christian life is exciting. The Christian life gives you a lot of joy. The Christian life gives you a lot of peace. You are able to see the Lord Jesus Christ through the eyes of faith. But what the Apostle Paul is teaching us, and what I'm telling you, is that this joy and this peace that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ is always going to be mingled with sorrow and with trouble. It's always going to be mingled with sorrow and with trouble. You are going to have a good season, and then you're going to have a bad season. You're going to have a good day, then you're going to have a bad day. It's not going to be unadulterated joy and peace here on earth. You are going to have to fight against your sin. Sin is often going to rear its ugly head in your life. You know, think of the last Christmas. Which one of you had the faintest idea of what we have gone through in this past year? Did you have the faintest idea that a pandemic is going to strike the world and you're all going to be wearing masks here, you know, in the church hall, and that we are not going to be having the Lord's Supper for nearly 6 or 8 months, and that many of you are not going to be able to come into this worship service for 6 months? Did you have the faintest idea? You know, we were all celebrating. I remember that very clearly. We were all celebrating. We had a great time last Christmas. But look how this pandemic struck us. It interrupted our fellowship with Christ. It interrupted our fellowship with one another. Our joy was mingled with sorrow. Our peace was mingled with trouble. And now we think we are almost out of this pandemic, and they are talking about another strain. You know, again, we think that things are going to get better, and out comes a bad time. Out comes this virus again. So it seems to me that in this world, you know, bad times are out to pounce on us. You have a good time, and then bad times come without notice. You have good seasons, and bad seasons come without notice. You know, one of my spiritual mentors told me, Venki, if you've had a spiritual high, always watch out. Always watch out, because you can have a spiritual low. And that's what the Apostle Paul also says in 1 Corinthians. He says, if you think you stand, watch out, lest you fall. So we are never going to have uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Given the unpredictable nature of this life and its burdens and all the things that it throws up at us, We are never going to have uninterrupted fellowship with Christ. And that is why in verse 8 he says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yes, we are confident here on this earth. While we are present in this body, we are absent from the Lord and we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm confident in that. But I'm more confident to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. I'm more confident in that state. I want to be in that state. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a far better state. Because when I am there, when I am with my resurrected bodies, I'm going to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And I'm going to have uninterrupted fellowship with Him. I'm going to be basking in His glory. I'm going to be talking to Him face to face. There is going to be no sin. There is going to be no suffering. There is going to be absolutely nothing which is going to take me away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, this must be our attitude as well. Again, I'm not saying anything different. Don't get too enamored by this world. Don't get too enamored by your job. Don't get too enamored by your family. Don't get too enamored by the city. Don't be enamored by any of the comforts that you receive. All of these things will put on wings and they will fly away. But the only one who remains is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and long, groan for your resurrected bodies, groan for your eternal home, for this world is not our home. And in this world, you will not have uninterrupted fellowship with Christ. You know, India sends out ambassadors. And these ambassadors are in different countries. So India has an ambassador to the United States, it has an ambassador to China, it has an ambassador to Sri Lanka. So all of these ambassadors, they are foreign citizens in those lands. They are Indian citizens living in foreign land. And they represent our country. They represent our country to these foreign lands. Now imagine an ambassador who gives up his Indian citizenship and who takes the citizenship of that foreign land. He gives up Indian citizenship and he becomes the citizen of that foreign land. What would you think of such an ambassador? Well, you would think of that ambassador as a turncoat. He ought to be representing our country in a foreign land, but he has fallen in love with that country and he has given up the citizenship of this country and he has started becoming like the people of that land. Beloved, you are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ here in this world. Your citizenship is not on this earth. Your citizenship is in heaven. Your country is not this. Your country is not India. Your country is heaven. And you don't want to fall in love in this place so that you become a turncoat, but you want to be a faithful citizen for the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, and you simply want to be representing Him in this land, in this foreign land. You want to be a faithful ambassador to your King. You don't want to fall in love with this world. Beloved brothers and sisters, let us groan for our eternal home. This world is not our home. Let us groan for our eternal home. Let us groan for our eternal home and let us be faithful citizens of that country to which we will go after we die. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for this day. We thank You that You have given us an eternal home. You have given us the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to be Lord, we want to be faithful to You, O God. Lord, we want to be groaning for our eternal home. Lord, we pray that You would help us to groan for our resurrected bodies and to start groaning even now. And Lord, that we may not be in love with this world, But Lord, that we would far prefer to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, absent from this body and present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give us that attitude and help us at the same time not to be desperate about this. But Lord, help us to flourish and thrive in our Christian walk here on earth, always knowing that, Lord, we can never be free from troubles and we can never be free from sorrow in this world. So Lord, help us not to be surprised when we go through difficult times, but help us to take those difficult times in our stride, knowing that all of these difficult times will cease only once we are in heaven with you. So Lord, have mercy on us and help us to be pilgrims and to be sojourners and to be ambassadors for you in this world. We pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, for our psalm of response to the word that we have heard, we will sing.